Take our Bibles and go to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter 16. And I want to say this morning that I've been praying much lately about just the burden for souls to be saved in our church, and of course visitors. God's blessed us just about every service we have visitors, but it seemed like over the last few weeks God has just really been speaking to my heart about souls being saved in the church. And we know that's always something that we are concerned about, but the Lord put in my heart this chapter, and I don't know when, I don't know how many times, but I will be preaching, Lord willing, several sermons from Luke chapter 16, maybe not back to back. I just want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and preach them at the right time. But isn't the Word of God amazing how that you can read a passage over and over? I don't know how many sermons I've preached from Luke 16. I don't know how many sermons I've preached, but the Bible's fresh every time you read it. Amen. In fact, just probably six weeks ago, I preached from this very verse that I'm going to preach from this morning. Luke chapter 16, verse 25 is what I preached from, I don't know, 4, 5, or 6 weeks ago. And then just this week, the Holy Spirit put on my heart to go back to the same verse and preach a different thought. And that's the way the Bible is. Amen. You cannot exhaust the Word of God. So if you'll stand with us, Luke chapter 16, pray with us and for us that God would speak to somebody's heart this morning. If you're lost, I pray that you'll come and be saved by the grace of God. Luke 16, and notice verse number 25. But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented." Father, Lord, I ask you again this morning in Jesus' name, God, that you would speak to every sinner that's in this building, anyone here that's under the sound of our voice that's never been born again. I pray the Holy Ghost would begin right now to speak to their heart. May they see themselves lost in need of a Savior, and may they come and get born again, the family of God. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you. Bind the devil this morning, and I pray that you'd have free liberty to work in our hearts and in our lives. And we ask it all now in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to focus this morning with me in verse 25 on just one phrase in our text here. Notice the Bible says in verse number 25, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime," watch this, "receivest thy good things." Amen. He said that he received the good things. And I want you to think about these good things this morning. I would say, number one, that these good things in this verse are mentioned. Amen. Abraham took time to mention to the rich man who has lost and died without God to remind him that he had some good things in life. You say, what do you mean? Well, he had life, number one. That is a good thing. Amen. That God would give anyone an opportunity to be born and live on this earth. Now, when God breathed into Adam, the Bible said that Adam became what? A living soul. Amen? And life is the most precious commodity that you and I possess today. The Bible said, what is thy life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then it vanisheth away. James chapter number 4. But the rich man had life. He had luxuries. If you look at verse number 19, the Bible calls him a rich man and said that he fared sumptuously every day. The rich man had liberty. He had the opportunity to choose whatever he would and whatever he will in life. You know, this morning we've been blessed with some good things. Amen. We live in America. We have life. We have luxuries. I'm telling you, none of us are rich this morning. But when you compare the lifestyle of the average American to people around this world, we would have to say we're rich. We have luxuries in this life. We have liberty. Amen. And he had liberty. And he had love. He had 5 brethren. He had a father. No doubt there was people that cared for him. Lazarus cared for his soul. And he had Lazarus, a believer. Even though Lazarus was a beggar, Lazarus was a believer. He passed by that gate where Lazarus laid every day full of sores, desiring the bread that fell from the rich man, the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, the Bible said. The rich man never thought about these things, but the good things in this verse are mentioned, then I would say the good things in this verse are many. Amen. I mean, this man had more than what he deserved. He had more than what could ever be depleted. He had more than even what the Bible describes. God had been good to him. I'm saying this morning, if you're here and you're lost without God, sinner, you better look up. God has given you some good things. He's given you life. He's given you liberty. He's put people in your life that love you. He's given you a Lazarus, somebody that cares enough to preach the gospel and to tell you how to be saved. He's given you more than what you ever deserve. He's given you more than what you ever could deplete or describe. You see, the rich man had so many blessings in life, but he was blinded by those blessings all because he trusted in the riches of this world rather than the Redeemer of this world. Amen. I'm saying this morning, these good things are mentioned. They are many, but I want to say also, the good things in this verse, in verse 25, are a memory. Because he said, son, remember that in thy lifetime, thou receivest good things. The good things that we read about in verse 19, the good things that the rich man had, though they were mentioned and they're many, they're just a memory this morning. They're all gone now. He has left them all behind in this life. You see, you cannot take anything with you when you leave this world. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. We're not taking anything behind with us when we leave this walk of life. And this rich man could not dispute the fact that he had been given a lot of good things in his lifetime. They are recorded in verse number 19. They were received according to verse 25, and they're remembered according to verse number 25. But now, notice what he said. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things. But now, you know what? Those good things are gone. Amen. They're over with. This life is only temporal. And I want to preach a few minutes this morning on that subject on when the good things are gone. Amen. I want to say this morning, sinner, when the good things are gone, what are you going to do when the good things are gone? My friend, what will you have in eternity when the good things are gone? Where are you going to be when the good things of this life are over with? You see, I thank God for physical life. I thank God he let us be born in America. I thank God for the blessings and the convenience. Don't you thank God for shoes on your feet this morning? I'm glad we don't got to walk around barefooted. Don't you thank God you got some clothes on your back this morning? I thank God I had a pillow and a bed to lay down in and some shelter. I thank God that we had a good cool place to lay last night. I thank God we didn't have to walk to church, but was able to get in a car and ride to church. I got news for you. All of these things in this life, there's coming a day when they're going to be gone. There's going to come a day when everything you got in a closet and everything you packed in a shed somewhere and everything you've saved in a bank, my friend, it'll come time to make the crossing and leave this walk of life, and everything that you've gathered, it'll be gone in just one fleeting breath. It'll be gone. I want to say this morning, the mistake that the rich man made in this text was that he trusted in the things of this world. You've got, listen, this rich man, if you look at verse number 19, you'll have to admit that this rich man, when you think about it, he's got riches, but you got to have more than riches when you leave this world. Amen. The Bible said there was a certain rich man. This rich man had rags. He fared sumptuously every day, clothed in purple and fine linen, but you've got to have more than a good wardrobe when you leave this walk of life. He fared sumptuously. You've got to have more than a relaxed life when you leave this walk of life. You've got to have some peace. Amen. You've got to know Jesus in the free pardon of sin this morning. Now in verse 25, all the good things are gone in his life. If you live for this world, the Bible says that life does not consist in the abundance of things. Doesn't matter how many things you have now. What will you have in eternity? Where will you be in eternity? This morning, God wants us to take a step back and not think about the temporal. But where are you going to be 100 years from now? There are many people that have sold their soul to the devil. They've sold out for liquor. They've sold out for alcohol, beer. They've sold out for all kinds of perversion. They've sold out for the things of this world. Some have sold out due to pride. They wouldn't get saved. They wouldn't come and bow their head and bend their knee. Pride swelled up in their heart and it sent them off into hell. Pride will ruin your life. I'm telling you, there's something about it when you don't ever say you're sorry. And what we notice in this passage of scripture, you'll search in vain to find any place where the rich man ever said he was sorry. He never repents. He calls on Abraham. He calls on Lazarus to come. He calls on, he cares about his five brethren, but he never calls on God. He never repents. He never cries out to God. I'm telling you, if you're here this morning, you're lost, and you got too much pride to come to the altar, too much pride to call on God, you'll wind up in the same mess that the rich man is in this morning. Amen. And by the way, you may be saved, but pride can get you too. This morning I've seen many shipwreck their lives after years of serving God because of pride. They would not repent. I'm telling you this morning, the easiest thing for me and you to do when we're wrong is to get right with God. I'm not going to let it go a day by the grace of God. I'm not going to harbor it a day. You say, why? Because I know this flesh this morning. If I'm wrong, I'm just going to go ahead and repent and own up to it. Amen. And I'm not going to let it go a day because I've seen what it's done by the grace of God. I'm not going to let it go a day. I've seen what it's done to too many of God's children. Amen. I don't want to die out of the will of God. I don't want something to happen in my life because I got away from God. I'm going to tell you something. I'm preaching to sinners, but let me say this morning. Listen, you can sit on a church pew the rest of your life and go to hell. Amen. You can know the King James Bible. You can quote the Romans Road, but if you've never been to Calvary, if you've never been saved, you can go to hell. And then you can sit on a church pew and in a good church and be as backslid as a billy goat. Can I get a witness right there? I'm telling you this morning, I know as well as I'm standing here this morning, the hour that we're living in today, that the only thing that's going to keep the church headed in the right direction is for somebody to take this old black back book and preach the word of God. We're not living in easy times by no means. My friend, when it comes to pastoring a church, but I'm telling you, thank God, there's still some places around this world where the breeze of heaven still blows, amen, and you got to keep the fallow ground broke up if you're going to keep things right. I'm telling you this morning, this man is not saved. He dies without God. He has everything in this world that has to offer, but he does not have Jesus Christ. What about it this morning? I wonder if God could pull back the curtain of our hearts today. I wonder how many people sitting here saved. It's not my responsibility to cast any doubt on anyone. I don't know your soul this morning. I can't speak for you. I wouldn't try to... Listen, I'm not interested in just getting professions of faith. Somebody say amen right there. But I don't want anybody to sit on a church pew and die and go to hell. The good things are gone. One of these days, all the good things of life are going to be gone, friend. I want to say when the good things were gone, what we find in verse number 25 is that the man in our text is without him. He does not have Jesus Christ. He had a lot of good things, but he didn't have God. Acts 4 and verse 12 said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus looked at a religious man in John chapter 3 by the name of Nicodemus and said, verily, verily, I say to thee, you must be born again. I want to tell you this morning, you got to be saved. This man recognizes a great patriarch, Abraham. He recognizes the beggar, Lazarus. He recognizes the brethren that he's concerned about, lest they also come this place of torment. But as I mentioned earlier, he does not recognize God in this text. Isn't this interesting? Because it is Jesus that is giving this account of this man's soul. And I thought about that this morning, how that it is really sad that this man does not remember God God while he's here on this earth, but here is the Son of God on earth, and he takes time to remember a man that is already in hell. You know, I believe once Jesus loves a sinner, he never stops loving a sinner. Amen? This man died without God and went to hell. It'd have been easy for Jesus to just forget about him until the day of judgment. But you know what he does? He goes back and he remembers this man, even though this man did not remember him. You say, why would he do that? Because he loves every sinner. He cares for every sinner. I believe God wants every sinner to be saved. Amen? 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible said the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's longsuffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. He wants everyone to be saved. And sinner, he does not want you to leave this world without him. This man in our text this morning is without him. Secondly, this morning, this man is without heaven. He is in hell. There's only two places to go when you leave this life. Heaven or hell. There's no purgatory. There's no middle ground. There's no place to wait. No one's praying you out of anything and into anything. Hebrews 9:27, we quote that verse a lot, but you know it. The Bible said it's appointed a man once to die. But look at this. After this, the judgment. When you draw your last breath and step out into eternity, it's heaven or hell. We've seen people die both ways. We've witnessed their testimonies in their death. Some saw the glories of heaven. Others saw the horrors of hell as they slipped out of this life and into the next life. Friend, I'm here to tell you this morning, you need to make sure you've been born again. You need to make sure that you're going to heaven when this life is over with. You see, this man, he missed heaven for the world. Amen? I like that old song that says, I wouldn't miss heaven for the world. Amen? I'm telling you, this world holds nothing this morning. There's nothing eternal in this world. There's nothing, my friend, permanent about this world. And I don't want to give heaven up for, my friend, the things of this world. This man loved this world. He lived for this world. He was lost in this world, but he left this world. And sinner, hear me, there's coming a day when we're all checking out of here, when we're all leaving this life. And it could be today that we leave this world. Will you be ready? Will you go to heaven when this life is over with? He left without him. He left without heaven. Are you sure of heaven this morning? You know, there used to be a time, not too long ago, when you could preach to sinners, and you could ask them if they're not saved, would they raise their hand? And they'd raise their hand and say, pray for me. But something changed, Brother Laddie. I don't know what happened. Somewheres, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I started noticing that people could just stand there unmoved by the sermons. You say, what do you think that is? I'm not sure. Other than fact number one, we are in the last days. We are on the last leg of the journey, friend. Jesus is about to come. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu this week, I can't remember the whole article. You know, I tell you, I preached 11 times this week in a high altitude. It's a wonder I even know my name. I drank probably 30 gallons of water this week, just trying to keep from having, muscle cramps and brain fog and everything else. I did everything but smoke pot to try to keep my brain straight. Some of y'all get nervous when I say that. I don't smoke pot, even though it was legal in that state, amen. But this week I read an article where he signed into to go ahead. They now have a red heifer that's 100% pure. You seen that? And he went ahead and I don't know if he made it law or what he did, but he went ahead and made it. They're going to lay the first cornerstone to the temple. Hey, friend, you know what's got to happen before all that takes place? We're getting out of here. Brother, we're leaving. I read that. Now, you tell you what rose up in my heart. Even so, come quickly. Amen. I said, God, I'm telling you, that just thrills me to think we are that close. All this anti-Semitism that's going on around, I mean, who would have ever thought? It's blown our mind. It's let you see how fast the world is going to turn on that little nation. And already Israel is in the heat of the battle in the Gaza Strip and with Iran and everywhere else. Things are just heating up and they're getting ready. Amen. I'm going to tell you, before all that happens, before that temple worship takes place, before, my friend, they come down on that little city, thank God we, the church of the living God, we're pulling out of here. Hallelujah. We'll be gone. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, they can have this world and all there is within it. I say, come, Lord. Even come now. It'd be a good day for the sky to roll back and the clouds to roll away. And thank God to hear the sound of the trumpet from another world. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. I might not even mow my yard this week, Brett. Amen. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. He's coming, praise God. We're getting out of here. The apathy of the church, the temperature of the church has fallen asleep. Complacency has settled in the pews. I'm telling you, I told somebody the other day, they said, preacher, you know, can you pray for me? I just took a church. This guy, listen, this guy was a state trooper at one time, and he took down over 300 people in 1 year. I'm talking about physically took them down and arrested them. And then he took a Baptist church. He told me, he said, there's not a drunk that I arrested and took down that even matches up to what I've had to deal with in the last 6 months, pastor. I said, buckle up, buddy. You're going to need more than a badge, amen, to pastor people nowadays. He said, brother, I don't have a complaint to one about this church. But I'm telling you, I know this as sure as I'm standing here. I don't know everything, but I've been here long enough to know this. If you back up one iota, you give the devil one inch. I'm telling you, you don't know how many days that I go home and I say to my wife, am I a mean person? If I'm mean, tell me. I don't want to be mean. I'm just telling you. Preacher called me today. He said, you ever get tired of saying no? Yes. He said to me, he said, you know, I was popular in school. I said, you won't be anymore. You better go into evangelism. Amen. You said, what are you saying? It's not an indictment against this church. I'll tell you what it is. It's the last days, friend. And people are folding like tents. And there's more compromise and there's more everything going on than there ever has been. But I'm telling you, listen, we're too near the end to turn back now. I'm telling you, it may be a house full or it may be a handful. But I'll tell you, when he comes on resurrection morning, I'd like to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm preaching on hell, but I'm telling you this morning, I'm excited Jesus is coming and I don't have to go to hell. I thank God, everything, we can leave it all behind. We're going to a better place, a better land. It's fair than day. Thank God, it's a better day coming. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. I felt the presence of God more in the last few weeks than I've ever felt him in all my life. He is so good. He is so wonderful. He is holy. He is righteous. He is true. He is God. He is blessed. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. We're getting out of here. Hallelujah. I praise God. I wish we could get out right now. Amen. I'm telling you, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, hallelujah. Come now. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'd never make it at a First Baptist church, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad you can enjoy salvation. I'm glad you can enjoy living for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. What about it, sinner? Are you ready? This man was without him. He's without heaven. Oh, if this life only, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. I look around the house and I thank God for his blessings. I thank God for he's been good to us. But I'm going to be honest with you. Used to, when I was younger, I mean, I still like everything to be well taken care of. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I remember my dad, he said, it doesn't matter if you got an old car or a new car, you take care of it. I mean, when I was a boy, we didn't have a vacuum cleaner, you know, I tried using my mom's one time. She beat the devil out of me for that. She said, boy, don't put that in the car. But you remember them little brushes? They had the little, you had to hand sweep them. My dad was like, all right, you got to clean the car out. And I hated sweeping that car out, you know, and you're getting all that stuff, you know. And our back floorboards, we had a 76 Impala. The back floorboards were completely rusted out. But we still had to sweep them, Brother Danny. I got that little broom there, and I'm sweeping, and I'm like, some of it's dirt, some of it's rust. And my dad was like, don't sweep it so hard. They already had holes in it already. He said, son, don't you know the difference between dirt and rust? I said, well, when it all mixes, I'm sorry. I can't just separate everything. He said, you're sweeping them holes bigger in the back of it. He said, why'd you have it? Well, it was the only car we had air conditioning, amen. But we had holes in the floorboard. I remember he put a big old metal pan on both sides of them and put carpet on it. Told me and my brother, he said, you be careful where you stand, amen. Telling you the truth, God's on truth. My wife will testify, she saw that car. Every time it rained, it changed colors, amen. Had so many coats of primer on it. We don't know what the original color was. But it had AC in the front, and it had it in the back, amen. All you had to do was roll the carpet back. You say, what are you saying? I really don't know where I was going with that illustration, amen. Oh, I know what I was talking about. It doesn't really matter. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if you drive a bomber. It don't matter if you drive a Lexus, amen. It's all going to burn up one of these days. It doesn't mean anything. And the older I get, I thank God for what I have. But the less I need, amen. I'm telling you, if somebody takes it all tomorrow, you know what? They'll still get up. God will still be God. Jesus will still be on the throne. Heaven will still be real. And I know I've got a better place to go. Hallelujah. They can take it all. Hallelujah. My hope's not in this world, but it is in a better world. Hallelujah. Thank God we got heaven to look forward to. Gates of pearl, walls of jasper, a street of gold. Oh, but there's one that's going to outshine them all. A Jesus, a face to face one of these days. Hallelujah. The sun will never set in glory land. I want to say this man in our text is without him. He's without heaven. And finally, he's without hope this morning. No hope of peace for this man. No hope of pardon. No hope of a paradise. But sinner, I want to tell you this morning, no matter how lost you may be, no matter how deep in sin you are right now, you have hope this morning. An invitation. Let's sing that old song. You may have one picked out already, but let's sing that old song this morning. I think it's the greatest invitational song that's ever been sung. Just as I am, without one plea. And there's a lot of good ones, but I'm saying I think it's the greatest invitational song that's ever been sung. I'm telling you, if you're lost this morning, you need to come to this old-fashioned altar and get saved. You have hope. This invitation, all these people in this building, the sermon, the piano playing right now, you know what all this does for you? It gives you an opportunity. You have hope this morning. But if you don't come down here and get saved, and you go out them doors, you may not have any hope whatsoever. I'm telling you, if you're lost, please come. I know the Holy Ghost has been dealing with my heart very heavily, Brother Jason. I was sitting there on that summer trip one morning, Brother Barnes was preaching. And I was just listening to Brother Barnes. I wasn't thinking anywhere else. And he said something. I don't remember what he said, but the Holy Ghost brought Luke 16 to my mind and said, write this down. And I'm telling you, as fast as I could write it down, and it ain't always that way, he gave me this thought, this thought, this thought, this thought. He said, won't you go back, won't you preach on hell? We don't hear a lot of preaching on hell anymore. I remember when I was growing up as a kid, when you went to revival meeting, You're going to hear a sermon on hell sometime that week. You're going to hear a sermon on separated living. You're going to hear a sermon on the second coming or the spirit-filled life. You heard that everywhere you went. What about it today? If you die without Jesus, where are you going to go? You're going to go to hell. If you don't get saved today, I'll ask you this question. When? If you won't walk the aisle today and get saved, when? If you don't get saved today, very well could be never. You'll have eternity to think about every opportunity you had. I don't want to pastor one person. Oh God, this is probably already true. I don't want to pastor one person and see him cast in the lake of fire. This morning as we stand,